You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Well, welcome to Family Talk, the broadcast division of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and if you care about the future of Christian education in America, today's program is one you will not want to miss, as our own Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dobson Policy and Culture Center, continues his conversation with the Reverend Dr. Daryl Jones, President of the Stanley M. Herzog Charitable Foundation. Now, they're going to talk about Christian education in America, and we also have a special announcement about a brand new contest that your high schooler or middle school student can enter. It's the America's 250th Anniversary Essay Contest. And as the U.S. approaches its 250th anniversary, the JDFI, in partnership with the Herzog Foundation, is inviting students all across the nation to reflect on the powerful question, how has faith shaped our nation, and how is God calling you to help shape what comes next? Go to drjamesdobson.org/USA250 to learn more about how your high schooler or middle school student can submit an essay that will be considered as part of this contest between now and April 30th, and the winners in the high school division and the middle school division will be competing for cash prizes up to $2,500. Again, for more information, go to drjamesdobson.org/USA and the number 250. On the last edition of Family Talk, Dr. Jones shared how the Herzog Foundation is equipping Christian schools and homeschool families with practical, real-world tools, including a free platform called Schoolbox that's already helped launch over 500 Christian schools in 48 states. On today's conversation, we'll find out what it costs to take a stand like this. When you're challenging the public school monopoly and fighting to put Christian education within reach for every family in America, well, you're going to make some enemies. So let's get back into part two of this conversation featuring Gary Bauer and the Reverend Dr. Daryl Jones on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
How much heat do you get? Because as you know, a lot of what you're saying, and it's stuff that Americans have said from the very moment they set foot in America, you know, people that love Jesus and love America, but now that's been labeled Christian nationalism.
Right.
Are you facing those kinds of attacks?
Oh, heavens yes. The lion, when you throw a wrench in the public monopoly, it doesn't go unnoticed, which makes us think, wow, we must be striking a nerve. Maybe we're hitting at something. Yes. Maybe we're on to something. And we take the heat. After the Charlie Kirk shooting, which, by the way, his predominant message was, let's sit down and let's talk.
Yeah. Wow, that's radical.
Really. Let's sit down and let's talk. After that, I sent an email out to our entire staff. And I said, this should cause each of us to reflect on why we do what we do and why we're a part of an organization that really is trying to make a spiritual difference across the country. And for me personally, it only furthers my resolve that not everything is worth dying for, but there are some things that are worth dying for.
Yes.
And religious liberty and faith and our children, and in my case, our grandchildren, are absolutely worth fighting for as long as there's breath in our bodies. And, I was reminded, the early church martyrs didn't have a death wish, but they weren't afraid to die. Mm. And I think there's something to not longing for a death wish.
Yes, we're not a suicidal faith.
Exactly, but certainly being willing to stand up for what's right. And I think that's the culture that believers live in today. And it didn't start with me. I was a disciple of Dr. Dobson. He helped me raise my kids. I told him that. I had a career in Christian radio. And a part of my radio show was playing the reel-to-reels, Gary, that came from Pomona, California. And I told Dr. Dobson that story, but I was taking notes while working my radio show and listening to Dr. Dobson as I was raising three beautiful daughters at the time.
It's amazing how often he would hear from parents that said exactly that, that I couldn't have raised my son or daughter without your help. And you know that these kids don't come with an owner's manual, you know, when you're supposed to change the oil and so
forth. That's right.
So with the first one, particularly, the first one, you know, it's like pancakes. The first one, you don't know how it's going to come out, but after you've cooked a couple, you get a little better at it, you know.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, by the time our third daughter came, it was like, hey, she's screaming, give her what she wants. The first one, we never would have given her what. It's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
Craziest thing.
So I don't know if you touched on this with something you were saying earlier, but what's the ambassador program? Is that something separate from
it? Is. Yeah, the ambassador program, we're getting so many invitations now to go and speak and to go and table at different conferences that, you know, in the first, you know, year or two, that was me. I was that guy. But this whole mortality thing where you can only be in one place at a time is such a bummer. Especially for a young organization that wants to be everywhere. So year three was when we established the ambassador program, where we hire fresh out of Christian college or Christian universities. Frankly, if they were a part of a secular university, but they were heavily involved in leadership of a campus ministry, they would qualify. We hire them for a one-year program. We bring them here to our headquarters in Kansas City. For the first 3 months, we immerse them in all things Herzog Foundation. And for the next 9 months, we send them all over the country representing us. They sit down with heads of school and explain all of the resources that we have for Christian schools across the country. They sit down with homeschool co-op leaders, homeschool state organizational leaders, and they really represent us very well. They're all college graduates. It's a one-year program. And then at the end of the year, we help them to find where's God leading and what's the next season of their life. And we have folks in family policy networks across the country. We have folks working in pro-life organizations. It's been really an exciting branch of the ministry of the Herzog Foundation.
Now, how many of those do you hire every year?
Yeah, we have 10 this year. We've grown it every year, and we have 10 this year. Combination males and females. By the way, remember in America when we used to have males and females? Those were good times.
It seems like just yesterday, Dale.
we're old school here. We're old school here at the Herzog Foundation, and yes. So we hire a good mix of them. But man, they're coming, just sharp kids coming from all over the country that love the Lord and align with us in all things Herzog Foundation. Certainly, Mr. Herzog would be pleased with our selections as they reflect well on his values and his concerns for the country. And it's a great learning experience for them. It's a paid ambassadorship for the year. So, you know, fresh college graduates who just aren't sure what's the next season, what's the next step, I would strongly encourage them to apply to our ambassador program.
And knowing you, I'm sure you're careful because, as we know, even some of the quote-unquote Christian universities have drifted in some ways. There's no need to get into names, but you do a fairly deep dive, I assume, to make sure the theology
We do. We have a pretty strong, robust vetting process that includes a couple of interviews as well as a number of other ways in which we're looking at who is this person really, not just what, you know, their resume says, but who are they really and would they be a good fit? And so, praise the Lord, to date, with 3 different cohorts, we're feeling pretty good about the selection process.
It sounds like it's a great program. You must have a staff of a couple thousand people because the number of projects you've got is really amazing. But one of the things we all grew up, at least in my age range, was the American dream. You know, my father had to drop out of school very early on, and same with my mother. Nobody in my family had ever, quite frankly, finished high school, let alone gone on to college. And yet, in his mind, there was this idea of the American dream. And so sometimes he would come after working several shifts and really backbreaking jobs, and he would come up to my bedroom, and he would wake me, and he'd be covered with grime, and he'd say, look at me, you know, study, read, so that you can realize the American dream. So that was driven into my mind. You've got an American Dream project.
Right.
Explain to our listeners something about that.
It is a fantastic opportunity, honestly, where we have a great, we're really trying to be good neighbors in our little rural area just north of Kansas City. And so about once a quarter, we're able to bring in really some authoritative voices, conservative voices from around the country, just to come and to speak what America can be. We never charge for it. It is always, you know, standing room only. But we have brought in some great thought leaders, Riley Gaines, Dr. Ben Carson, most recently, William Barr, former Attorney General, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Just about once a quarter, we're looking at bringing in different voices that can speak to what America could be. And it's been a great opportunity just to speak again to the dream of America and what the founders certainly had in mind, but what could be and is not so far off with a unified country that wants these things and holds our elected officials accountable.
I think you kind of addressed this indirectly as our conversation began, but you would consider yourself an optimist, it seems to me. I mean, your whole demeanor is optimistic and upbeat. And as men and women of faith, you know, we're called to be optimistic.
Sure.
But, you know, we can be optimists, right, and still understand the lateness of the hour.
True.
You know, I've been starting speeches by saying, what time is it? And what I'm getting at is, does the audience understand what the moment is? It's not the 1950s. It's not I Like Ike.
Right.
In fact, it's a lot more like the 1850s in some ways. But given you're so involved with education, how do you describe where you see us, what moment we're in as a country?
I think it's a very critical time. It was on the news this morning, another socialist official that is gaining momentum in the election cycle. And we've seen now what used to be fray socialist candidates who win elections. And now you're seeing more and more of that. And again, I think a lot of that is being, that whole concept is being bred in institutions across the country that see that as a great value. I think, you know, that's one aspect that we could dive into. I think across the board, when you look at the culture of the day, there's reason to say, hey, let's keep our eye on the ball. Let's keep moving forward. Let's give everything that we have to this. This is worth fighting for. This is worth living for, and it's worth dying for. And I think it's also exciting to see, frankly, among young people today, it's almost like they've revolted against their parents from the 60s, and they're turning to God. These things that as Christians and certainly as a pastor, we would have regular prayer meetings where we would pray for the hearts of people to be changed. And we didn't know how to do it, but God, would you change the hearts of people? And I really believe, Gary, we're seeing that across the country with a younger generation, almost like the Jesus movement of the 70s, where the young people are coming to terms with a relationship with Christ, and it's transforming their generation. And that gives me great hope as well, on this end of the life spectrum, to pour into that whole movement and to seek to empower them, even as though were those in my life who empowered me.
Yes. You know, every previous generation of Americans at a time of crises, Christians particularly rose to the occasion. I know you know our history very well, but you can go back to before America, you know, when we were still those colonies that you're going to be visiting on this tour. We had the Great Awakening in those colonies, and the British referred to the pastors in America that were preaching freedom as the Black Regiment.
The Black Robe Regiment, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the Great Awakening that happened before the Civil War that led to the end of our national sin of slavery. So time and time again, that's happened. And I pray that history will record that we were not the generation that failed to rise to that moment.
Yeah.
I think, as you said, there's signs that history will not record that, that in fact, God is not done with us and he's moving again. And ironically, he's moving among the youth, which for so many decades, youth has been the cutting edge of all the radical change.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, this is a radical change, but back toward faith, family, and freedom.
I had opportunity the first part of this week. I was with leaders from across the country and had opportunity to address them and just said, you know, throughout biblical history and human history and certainly American history, God has had what appeared to be the right people at the right time. And, you know, when you look at 2026, the Apostle Paul is not here. The Apostle Peter is not here. Dr. Dobson had his time, and now it's our turn. And perhaps God does have the right people in the room at the right time. It's not a time to cower. It's not a time to be distracted. It's a time to, as the old hymn says, rise up, O men of God, the church for you doth wait, her strength unequal to the task, rise up and make her great.
Wow. I'm going to ask you to sing that.
Oh, you don't want that. You don't want that.
I think you're fairly familiar with what we're doing at the James Dobson Family Institute. You know, we all feel that Dr. Dobson has this incredible legacy, and it really would be a sin to let it be frittered away or disappear down a memory hole or whatever. So we've got a great board, and we've got new leadership with Bart Brock, and we're trying to take all that reservoir of wisdom that Dr. Dobson left in his books and the radio shows and his other writings and make sure it's relevant and so forth, which it is. In fact, the country and a good bit of the world is searching for this kind of information.
Right.
So it's an exciting time. I'm really, you know, I've got a lot of work I do in Washington with my group, but I have a great sense of satisfaction being part of the James Dobson Family Institute right now. Dr. Dobson and I were friends for decades. So one of the things we're doing this year is our, you know, trying to do our own things to celebrate the 250th birthday. And one of the projects we're working on, we're getting ready to unveil, or we are unveiling, is an essay contest for students. Daryl, your organization has a great deal of experience in this area, and I can't tell you how happy we are that you came alongside of us on this to give us advice and counsel as we're unveiling this essay contest. So just talk about that a little bit, about the fact that challenging our young people to write about the meaning of America and God's role in America, how important that is. At a time when there's so many other distractions, and they're often not getting really history, real history, in a lot of the public schools and the big universities.
Well, I will tell you, it's a thrill for us to partner with you in this endeavor. You know, even in terms of helping with some of the infrastructure, with how you're setting it up, we do a Bill of Rights essay contest every year. We also do a youth camp that focuses on faith and nation and principles of bringing these two concepts together that really are hand in glove. I mean, they're not mutually exclusive. But to see, you know, what you're wanting to do in terms of, you know, the 250th anniversary of America and asking, you know, middle school students and high school students to begin reflecting on this very nation of faith, this very notion of faith and freedom, and how has faith influenced the freedoms, not simply that the founding fathers established, but how faith is critical in our day to seeing those freedoms continue on in a culture that seems to be very interested in marching for the right to not have freedom. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. You know, marching for the right, take our rights away, take our right. I don't get it. But to be a part of what you're championing among middle school and high school students, I think is very important. And we're honored to come alongside and at least help as we can.
Well, I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. And it is a cause for optimism, Daryl, that the Herzog Foundation and the work that you're doing We've been working closely with the various Christian legal groups. There's a lot of followers of Jesus Christ out there that are fighting the good fight for faith, family, and freedom. Periodically, I've been blessed to have some access to our leaders in Washington, and I've told our friends on Capitol Hill and even in the White House that America is not going to be great again unless America is godly again. Mm-hmm. And you're doing the Lord's work in probably the most important area of all, which is educating our children to go out and take their positions in all the different professions and all the places of influence and bring America back to its Christian heritage and to faith, family, and freedom. So God bless you and onward and upward. And we will be praying for your work if you and your staff promise to continue to pray for our work at the James Dobson Family Institute.
Absolutely. What an amazing legacy that you're stewarding, Gary, and you're doing it well. And I know God's going to continue to be right there with you as he was with Dr. Dobson to influence families, to make them aware of the issues that they need to be aware of. And I appreciate our friendship. So glad that the Lord allowed our paths to cross a few years ago. And I always look forward to seeing you when we're on the circuit together.
Same here, Gerald. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you.
Well, the battle over what gets taught in our classrooms has never been more urgent. And the good news is, there are people out there building real alternatives for families who are ready to make a change. On today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, you've heard a conversation featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy here at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute's Policy and Culture Center, and the Reverend Dr. Daryl Jones, President of the Stanley M. Herzog Charitable Foundation. By the way, to go back and hear part one of this conversation or to share it with a friend, go to jdfi.net. And keep in mind that we've just announced a brand new essay contest available for middle school and high school students all across the country, where they're encouraged to reflect on how faith has influenced the founding of our nation and the development of our nation, and how they believe God is calling them to live with purpose, responsibility, and hope in the years ahead. Now, the deadline for entries is April the 30th of this year, and winners will be announced in May. And, of course, the grand prize winners will be featured on an upcoming edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. And by the way, they will be competing for cash prizes of up to $2,500. For more information on how you can sign up your high school or middle school student for the America's 250th Anniversary Essay Contest, go to drjamesdobson.org/USA250. That's drjamesdobson.org/USA and the numbers 250. Well, this Sunday is Easter Sunday, and if you're looking for resources to help your family celebrate the resurrection, we've got you covered. Our website is stocked with content to help you make the most of this weekend. And whether you're preparing your heart for Sunday morning or looking for ways to share the gospel with the people around your table, we'd love to come alongside you. Just head to jdfi.net and look for our Easter resources. That's jdfi.net. The Dr. James Dobson Family Institute was built on a deep respect for the American founding, a commitment to righteousness in the culture, and the belief that families need biblical truth and practical tools to navigate the world their children are growing up in. We've been dedicated to this work for over 15 years, and the need for it has not slowed down one bit. In fact, it is needed now more than ever before. So if today's program resonated with you, now is your opportunity to become a part of this important work. Every donation helps us continue standing up and speaking out for the families and the founding principles that matter most. To make a secure donation, visit jdfi.net. You can also call a member of our constituent care team at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Or if you prefer, you can send your donation through the U.S. Postal Service. Our ministry mailing address is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, the zip code 80949. Once again, our ministry mailing address is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, or just use those initials, JDFI for short, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80949. Well, I'm Roger Marsh, and from all of us here at Family Talk and the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute, thank you so much for listening today. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you trust for the family you love. This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Here's today's Dr. Dobson Minute with Dr. James Dobson.
When I was in the eighth grade, I was required to read a certain number of great books during the first semester. So I selected the thickest, heaviest books in the library and told my teacher I'd read them all. Consequently, she gave me an A+ in reading on my report card. My mom was impressed, my dad was proud, and I was as guilty as sin. In a moment of true confession, I admitted to my mother that I had cheated. Instead of getting mad at me or grounding me for 6 years, she simply said quietly, but with great intensity, "Well, you'll just have to read the books." I spent the rest of that school year poring over the classics while my friends played football and talked to the girls outside my window. When the task was finally done, I went to my teacher and tearfully confessed the entire scam. She forgave me, and my mother let me rejoin the human race. But I never forgot the lesson in accountability.
For more information, visit drdobsonminute.org.